Hello and welcome to another episode of Blue Alpine TV. In today's episode, we'll talk about Estonia stopping their national cryptocurrency project, and we'll talk about Vitalik Buterin's statement that Ethereum could scale up to potentially 1 million transactions per second. But let's jump right into this first news story. We have here Estonia halts plans for national cryptocurrency. Now, Estonia had, as one of the Baltic countries that is quite active in the technology space and is also is kind of headquarters to a different bunch of startups, is even touted as the kind of Silicon Valley of Europe, has introduced some interesting projects over the last few years. One of the first, in my opinion, and most interesting projects was the Estonia e-residency program, meaning that if you wanted to kind of get an e-residency, you could do it without even going to Estonia. I think you could apply for kind of citizenship there. You could apply to fund and create your business there, and obviously you would get better taxes and better services in Estonia. So in order to kind of make Estonia a more startup-y place, Estonia created this e-residency program, and in order to kind of go hand in hand with this e-residency program, their plan was actually to kind of start a national cryptocurrency. So Kaspar Korjus, he came up with an idea of creating an issuance of ES coin. Korjus proposed that ES coin would become the Baltic country's virtual currency and with time evolve to become the official currency to serve Estonia's e-residency program. Now that's great news, quite an interesting initiative. As you all know, Venezuela has created their own national cryptocurrency, the Petro or Petrodollar or Petrotoken. Russia and Turkey are also, and Iran are also kind of discussing different variations of this. However, it looks like Estonia has to stop the project quite soon. It says here, Estonia has shelved plans to develop its own national cryptocurrency after the idea prompted criticism by banking authorities and Mario Draghi, the Italian economist and president of the European Central Bank. There is actually another statement here by Draghi. He says, no member state can introduce its own currency. The currency of the Eurozone is the euro. Now, Mario Draghi obviously has kind of a high stakes at this in this statement, he is the president of the European Central Bank, and as you know, he has to kind of represent the interests of the Eurozone. Now, Estonia, part of the Eurozone, wants to be innovative, wants to be kind of technology driven and all of these things, but at the same time belongs to the European Union. So obviously, if the European Union says that they are not happy with something like this, they will have to take a step back. Now, in my opinion, that's actually quite a sad statement. The European Union, I would expect to be a bit more open-minded, especially when Estonia is headquartering all these different interesting countries, such as companies such as TransferWise, Taxify, I think, is also from there. So all of these different interesting projects and companies are coming out of Estonia. Also the e-residency program and all of these things. So I know that it is quite successful in doing that. So the national cryptocurrency project actually would have been a very, very interesting thing to try out to see. If it doesn't work out, you just kind of fail and iterate on top of it. That's not bad. Now, the European Union obviously is a bit hesitant. The European Union has kind of the interest to kind of support the euro, especially right now. The Eurozone is kind of in a difficult state. Now, the Eurozone, as you know, we recently had the Brexit happening. So the Eurozone is kind of in fear mode that other countries could get out of the euro as well, or actually kind of cancel the contracts with the European Union. There are talks about Italy, France, Greece, Portugal, Sweden, all of these countries actually leaving kind of the Eurozone and be done with it. Now, this comes obviously then at a very difficult point for the European Union, where they kind of have to keep a unity, have to keep kind of their interests together, and then they cannot allow Estonia to kind of go on their own. Let's say if it would have been very, very a successful project, obviously this would have been trouble for the European Union. Now, I also do know that in Switzerland, for example, Switzerland is also kind of conducting an investigation to identify the risks and opportunities of creating a state-backed virtual currency. However, I'm not really sure whether this will be like a full-fledged big project similar to Estonia. Now, this entire topic of national cryptocurrencies is quite interesting, but it is quite unproven still. So from Venezuela, we have very little information that we can use to actually say, okay, this has been a success or has been kind of a failure. And even if it were a failure, I think it is important that we all in the crypto economy learn from it and kind of understand what was the problem here. Why is a national backed cryptocurrency not a solution? Now, obviously, if you come from traditional ideological philosophical cryptocurrency space, you believe in decentralization. You believe that not a single entity is controlling the currency. And if for national backed kind of cryptocurrency, this is exactly what we don't want. It's very centralized, very controlled by the government, and all of these things. So it will stay interesting with these national cryptocurrencies. We will keep you posted on the next kind of information regarding that. Now, next up, we have quite an interesting news story, especially considering that last week Visa had a lot of problems. I think there was a couple of hours, quite a strong outage from Visa's side. There were no transactions possible in Europe and the UK. So a lot of trouble for Visa during that period. Now, on Friday, we talked about that Bitcoin could be exactly the kind of alternative to Visa. As you know, Visa quite centralized and can handle multiple hundreds of thousands of transactions per second. And obviously, Bitcoin is nowhere near that. Now, Vitalik Buterin came out and said actually that the combination of two technologies that they are working on in Ethereum currently, one is called sharding and the other is called Plasma, the combination of these two technologies could actually bring Ethereum to the next level. Now, currently, as far as I know, Bitcoin is allowing, I think, 3 to 4 transactions at max per second. And with, for example, Ethereum, you have, I think, 5 or 6 at max, like at peak capacity. That is essentially what you will get in terms of maximum output. And with these two technologies, they are planning on actually increasing this by a whole amount. Now, what is sharding exactly? We'll do actually a specific kind of video on sharding and Plasma, but here in short, it says sharding is in specific splits a blockchain network to shards, which are then equipped with a group of nodes that are tasked to process information of certain shards. With sharding enabled, all nodes on the blockchain are not required to process every single piece of data settled on the blockchain, optimizing the process of settling information. Now, Plasma, a solution developed by Buterin and Lightning Network co-author Joseph Poon, operates similarly to Bitcoin's Lightning Network as it enables Ethereum to process micropayments by creating child blockchain networks within the main blockchains to process information more swiftly, leveraging the security of the main Ethereum protocol and thus not leaving the network vulnerable to potential attacks. Now, both technology obviously split down the main blockchain into multiple smaller chains that you can control, that where you can do certain amount of transactions on. And this is currently the main problem. So the bigger the blockchain gets, the more information is being transferred with every transaction. So by splitting down those main blockchains into smaller blockchains, you can actually be more efficient, be even faster. And what kind of what amount of faster are we talking about? So Buterin says here, so if you get a 100x from sharding and a 100x from Plasma, those two basically give you a 10,000x scalability gain, which basically means blockchains will be powerful enough to handle most applications most people are trying to do with them. Now, this could potentially allow millions of transactions per second, and imagine what the kind of crazy use cases we could do, like everything from credit cards to IoT applications to all of these things that we want to do in daily life but currently cannot do. Now, this brings me back as an investor. Now, you have looked at Ethereum kind of as a utility. You look at the Ethereum platform as kind of a platform where other currencies are being built on. Now, if you know the kind of knowledge, if you have the knowledge about sharding and Plasma coming to the Ethereum network, how would you kind of change your strategy? How would you apply this information to your investment strategy? Does it mean that Ethereum as a token or as a platform will become even bigger? Will it mean that all the ERC20 tokens, of which 60-70% of the top 100 cryptocurrency coins are currently based on, will become more successful? So which one will be the daily kind of currency, which one will be the have the killer application, and all of these things. Nonetheless, 1 million transactions per second is a crazy amount. I think not even Visa can do this on a technological level currently. So this will be a huge, huge kind of next step. And that's why I believe that Ethereum should be part of different portfolios, of different investment theses, different investment portfolios, because simply the sharding and Plasma will give it kind of the scalability that is needed to kind of get to the next level. And with that, guys, we're already at the end of today's episode. Make sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel, subscribe to the podcast. I will see you on the next one. Take care. Bye.